The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is Matt Brown here for Gil Alexander. Day edition of a numbers game. Hour number two, Kelly Bidlin here on the desk as well. News coming through from Adam Schefter that the Commanders are hiring Anthony Lynn away from the 49ers. He was serving as their assistant head coach. He's going to be the run game coordinator over there for the Commanders. So some interesting NFL news coming through. And guess what? We're going to continue to talk NFL because we have a former first rounder in here with us right now. And that is Mike Pritchard, our very own Mike Pritchard. Pritch, thanks for joining us, bud.
Hey, Matt, Kelly, great to be with you. How you guys doing?
Doing great. Looking here, you know, we're in news season now. So it's, you know, is this guy going to stay? Is this guy going to go? Is this extension going to get done? Is this guy going to get traded? Now all the stuff's starting to come out about Brandon Ayuk, whether it's like, you know, if he doesn't want to extend with them, are they just going to try to flip him and get him out of there because they know he's not going to be around after that? So there's all kinds of stuff that's happening. But let's just head back to the Super Bowl and get your final thoughts here on everything. Were you Chiefs heading in? Were you 49ers heading in? And how do you think that it all played out?
You know what? I was Chiefs going in. And, you know, there's all these narratives out there, but I just made it a simple cap for me. And I thought the Chiefs distinguished themselves in the playoffs, throughout the playoffs into the Super Bowl, whereas the 49ers had been struggling and certainly had some question marks going into the big game. As well. I just thought that the Chiefs were executing at the level that they needed to execute. And they certainly had the confidence that they needed to have to play in that big game and perhaps get that victory, get the championship. So I went with the points too. I thought I had a better quarterback situation. One of the things I pointed out on the network going into the playoffs is that the quarterback position will make a difference. All season long, we had all these backup quarterbacks. The last 2 years, we've had backup quarterbacks, really. But I thought it was going to boil down and come down to quarterbacks making a difference and being a difference, winning a championship. And that's what played out with Patrick Mahomes.
So, Pritch, I asked you about this. I was fortunate enough to talk to you a couple times leading into the Super Bowl and asked you about the wide receiver position and just exactly what the impact may or may not be in this game. And really, when we kind of look at it, it was almost non-existent. Yeah, there were a couple of touchdowns that were caught by it, but as far as guys that were making, you know, real impacts throughout the course of the game, it really wasn't that. It was McCaffrey, you know, out of the backfield for San Francisco. It was Kelce on the Chiefs side of things. I know you weren't jumping up and down about a lot of the wide receiver prospects in this game, given how good the corners were for the Chiefs and what, you know, works out for the 49ers and stuff like that. But were you surprised at how little impact the receivers had in the game?
Not really, Matt, because I thought that both teams understood what each team was trying to do offensively, meaning they ran the same scheme. They highly familiar with what you want to do and certainly tendencies. So it comes down to matchups, right? And was the San Francisco 49ers going to try to take away Kelce? At what point would Andy Reid and his think trust, Matt Nagy and everybody kind of come up with some plays to help Kelce, right? Or, you know, exploit a matchup if they can, or do they go deeper on the lineup and see if they can find some matchups that were favorable that way? And there was some times that we saw that kind of reveal itself, but no, the steady players, they were going to be involved in a game plan. And, you know, I think from a prop standpoint, if you understand that these guys are involved in the game plan, they have designed plays that go to them. And then if the defense has answers or solutions for those, they will get to other stuff, right? So it's just a matter of time and waiting for that to happen and how effective a team can be. So I think when you have a Patrick Mahomes on your side, Kelce was going to emerge. On the other side, when you have a Brock Purdy, you know, Deebo Samuel was wide open. He overthrew it, right? I mean, I think if you know, Brock Purdy could be a different type of quarterback too, maybe he eludes a rush like we saw Patrick do. And make it an unbelievable throw, and he hits Jennings for the game-winning touchdown or touchdown in overtime. So, you know, it's those kind of little things that kind of come back, and when you watch the game, you kind of understand why those things didn't happen or how they played out, in fact.
Pritch, I know we talk a lot about the actual players in the game, and we talk, you know, we're going to talk ad nauseum about what Kelce was able to do in the second half and Patrick Mahomes and his heroics and all of that. But, you know, heading in, one of the things I was kind of really intrigued by was Spags and how he was going to try to treat that offense from the 49ers that is so incredibly multiple. And for a team that ran one of the very highest man rates in all of the NFL, fifth highest heading into that game, I noticed right off the bat, he's running more zone. He's doing whatever. It seems like he was bringing the house on different plays than he was throughout the course of the season and all the things like that. And I can't say this for certain that Steve Spagnuolo was the reason the Chiefs won this game. That's not what I'm saying. But I think kind of underrated in all of this was how he came in with this game plan where he got away from, you know, some coaches, you've told me this, some coaches are stubborn. What got us here right. is exactly what we're going to do. And that's come hell or high water, we're going to run that. Instead of saying like, oh, we run all this man all the time. He came out, ran a bunch more zone, was blitzing at different times than he did throughout the course of the season. Like, to me, that is what really makes an awesome coach, where he's willing to say, like, you know what, just because that's what worked now doesn't necessarily mean that's what's going to work as we head into all this. From what you saw, was it almost a masterpiece from what you saw from Spags?
Absolutely. 1,000%. What you just said, you're spot on with it, Matt. I mean, if there was a Hall of Fame for assistant coaches, you know, he'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer in terms of Spags and what he means to a team defensively. And that was something, like, I think I talked to you about this and Gil and others on network in terms of, do you treat the regular season or the postseason like the regular season, or do you understand it's a different season? And Spags and Andy Reid, they understand that the postseason is different than a regular season. Like, if you look at Kyle, the condensed formations, the same kind of things, the same kind of motion, all that stuff, you ran during a regular season and it worked for you. But now all of a sudden you have a coordinator and a team that understands all those things, and they want to disguise, they want to take those things away from you. But if you go out there and you think that you can just do the same stuff, and just have to execute at a higher level, you're going to be okay. That's not the case, right? Because Spags is going to take chances. He's going to exploit your tendencies. He's going to exploit everything and make it really, really difficult. In fact, Spags dictated to San Francisco and Kyle Shanahan a lot of times, whereas it was the other way around and deep in the game in the fourth quarter and certainly in overtime for Kansas City's offense. But I think you have to be different. I would have loved more creativity, more motions, more formations, different personnel packages for Kyle, just to give Kansas City's defense something to think about. But when you don't have to think out there and you can react as a defense and just attack it, a lot of times you're going to win those games. And that benefited Kansas City's defense all year.
Pritch, let's head into next season. Both of those teams are your favorites to take it all down. The 49ers plus 550, Chiefs are sitting there plus 650. We all make assumptions as we sit here because, listen, we got nothing better to do, right? We got to talk about something as we go. So everyone's like, okay, the Chiefs are going to address the wide receiver position. They have to get a true alpha number one in there for Patrick Mahomes. So everyone's just kind of assuming that that is going to happen. You start to look at a team like the Bills that obviously needs another playmaker as well. Gabe Davis on the way out in free agency like this. So when we look at this, like when you see the Niners, Chiefs, Ravens, Bills all up there, really short odds heading into next season, do you think it's as simple as kind of focusing on those four teams, or do you have your eye on maybe somebody else as we head into next year?
Well, no, I think it's that simple. There's only a few outliers each and every year. We saw that a little bit this season with Houston. I thought they were a brilliant outlier. And then another one, you can look at the Rams and say that they were kind of an outlier, because I thought they were going to tank, to be honest with you, fellas.
They can probably pull tape on me saying that like 10 times over the course of the deal.
Yeah, absolutely. But no, they put it together. Sean McVay, I mean, I don't know if he's reinvigorated or not, but I mean, he did a wonderful job, masterful job. And there could be another outlier out there in the Packers. And I mean, Jordan Love made some huge strides this year.
If we look and we see that it's 20-1,
CJ Stroud. I mean, the guy took the NFL by storm.
If we take a look here, Pritch, and we see that the Eagles are sitting at 20-1, and listen, we understand the defensive struggles that they had over the course of the season. Maybe they've addressed that, bringing in Vic Fangio to be defensive coordinator. Are we almost moving too far away here on this Eagles team? Because it was a team that, if you were power rating teams all season long, they were probably in your top five for the vast majority of the season. And now we kind of find them in that 20-1 to win it all type range. Have we overreacted?
Well, no, because I think the Eagles told us that they are in disarray. I mean, the coordinator situation was not stable in terms of offensively and defensively. I think they lacked identity. Now, they were talented enough to win a lot of games, and Sirianni was even on a hot seat a little bit. You know, I was talking about Green Bay, and LaFleur is not on a hot seat. In fact, he might have another franchise quarterback. Who knows what Jordan Love turns into? But as long as there's questions with the Eagles, and they're letting go some of their best players, and they think that they can bring in other players and be okay. I right now I'm taking the approach that they have to prove it to me. I give them benefit of the doubt, you know, that got to a Super Bowl and they lost it. But now here you got to repair everything as you lost talented players and you've lost talented coordinators to head coaching jobs. So I think they're under repair right now, to be honest with you, Matt.
Pritch, if you were laying, you know, some money, I would never tell you to lock your money up for a year. But if you were, right, and right, you were going to lock your money up for a year, what team pre-draft, pre-free agency, all of that, do you like heading into next year?
Well, you got Patrick Mahomes at plus 650. I mean, if you're going to lock up your money, that's something you can do and feel confident about, because Andy Reid has a blueprint. The Chiefs, they have a blueprint, and all they have to do now is tinker a little bit, because they've solved the problem with the quarterback issue. And there's teams, yeah, Baltimore, they don't have a quarterback issue. We get that. But I think when you're supremely confident like the Chiefs, each and every year you believe that you're going to the Super Bowl, that's where I would lock my money at if I had to.
He is our first rounder here at the network. Mike Pritchard, thanks for the time today, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care. Thank you.
Okay, let's swing back around to the stuff that we meant to get to at the top of the show. We just never got to any of the stuff. So, yeah, we're going to bring you back around to the first hour when we come back here on our numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you don't want to pony up the $9.99 for the introductory offer, hey, listen, I think you should still do it. But one thing we absolutely free is going to cost you $0, 0 cents, and that is our newsletter, VSiN.com/newsletter. Bill 80, up till the wee hours of the morning each and every day, giving you the goods, coming in with some picks and some strategies and all the different things and the top reads. And if you open today's newsletter, you know what you're going to find? Me and Kelly Bidlin and Wes Reynolds, because he talks about what's going on over at the Genesis, and not only some of our picks, but also a little bit of a promotion of the podcast as well. So head on over to VSiN.com/newsletter. Absolutely free. And if you're watching on the video stream, if you see that little cartoon, that is an accurate description. Like that is, if you are walking through a casino here in Vegas and you see anything that looks like that little cartoon, the answer is yes, that is Bill 80.
It's Will.
Yeah, it is. Like, that is the greatest little caricature ever, because that is exactly what Bill looks like.
I like the Pops collar did get added, though.
Yeah.
It was the, the Pops collar did get added. But you know, I don't know. Bill late at night, the collar might get popped. I'm not sure.
Listen.
But shout out to Bill, who I can only assume now listens to every single Long Shots episode after what I read this morning. What I'm assuming.
I think he does. I like to think that he does. All right. I like to think that he does. So we were talking about at the top of the show, this report coming out from the Chicago Bears that it would take a historic haul for them to move the number one pick, but essentially that, you know, I guess they would take a historic haul for them to move that number one pick. And so with that, odds obviously start to come out about, what about some of these teams people are going to play for? So we talked a little bit about what the next team is for Justin Fields. You and I kind of honed in on Steelers, kind of honed in on the Falcons. And outside of that, I mean, those teams just make so much sense that it would have to be a shocker, I think, to me for it not to work out for that. But then, you know, Kelly, there are some other guys out there that they're saying what is the next team for these guys as well? And it's, where will Russell Wilson take his next snap? And if you look, Steelers, even money, because again, the Steelers have come out. The reason the Steelers are going to be at the top of every one of these is because the Steelers have already come out and said it is an open quarterback room right now in Pittsburgh. We got rid of Mitch Trubisky already. They cut him 2 days ago, if you guys didn't see that. So they cut Mitch Trubisky, and they've already said, hey, Kenny Pickett has not made the strides we thought that he was going to make, so this is an open quarterback room. We are going to have a competition of some sort. So you see the Steelers at the top here at even money. Broncos, 350. Of course, he plays for the Broncos, so they're going to be up at the top. Falcons at 450. Patriots at 450. Raiders at 650. You got the Vikings there at 10. Commanders at 16. Titans, 25. Bucks, 25. And then the Bucks, 35, I should say. And then the Panthers, 35. So let's just talk through some of these. There's every indication in the world that the Bucks are going to re-sign Baker Mayfield. So I move them off. Panthers, what? Like, the Panthers just more like just like traded away like their whole future for a quarterback. That's not going to happen. The Titans have Will Levis. They're going to see what they have in Will Levis. They have to give him a fair shake. So, I mean, it's like you can't move him into the starter role, then move him back out of the starter role, and then think that you can then try and develop him and move his they're going to go.
Yeah. Commanders going to draft.
The Commanders are going to draft one of the quarterbacks, so they're out as well. So let's talk about the realistic teams here. Steelers, Broncos, Falcons, Raiders, Vikings, because, again, I don't think the Patriots are in there unless the Patriots trade out of that three spot, which then in that case, I guess it kind of brings them into the equation. But
are you surprised? We mentioned why the Steelers. I'm a little confused why the Patriots keep showing up this high on every single one of these two. I mean, it's okay. You kind of already got someone in house a little bit, and then you are in a position to go draft someone easily. So their odds being as short on every one of these as they are is confusing.
Yeah. It's if you look again, so the Patriots, I think, only come in play if they decide that they don't want that number three pick. But if you're the Patriots and you realize now how important a quarterback is. You had Tom Brady forever, and then you just win and win and win and win, and you get rid of Tom Brady, and then nothing happens.
Yeah.
You try four different quarterbacks this year, I think, at least three, and nothing's working for you there either. I can't imagine as a franchise that you are going to pass on being able to take a quarterback on a rookie deal with the option to get a fifth year out of that guy when you're sitting with three quarterbacks that, again, I'm not a talent evaluator, Kelly. You're not a talent evaluator, but the people that are, the people that are, say that all three of these dudes have incredibly high upside and could be franchise quarterbacks for whatever team they end up going.
And you're starting the whole thing over, like Bill Belichick's gone.
Gone.
Like,
whatever. Yes.
Wipe
nothing's
the slate
looming.
Clean. Right. Yes. Let's start this whole thing over and see where we can.
Let's bring in this guy who starts fresh, who starts anew, and then let's go ahead and get this done. So I can't see the Patriots. So for Russell Wilson, I think it's at least possible for the Steelers. I think that is at least in the realm of possibility, depending on what goes on with the Broncos.
Can we talk that first? The Broncos situation, and that is, where exactly do you think they're at with those two, and what is the likelihood that he's really moving on from Denver?
I don't think they will find a trade.
I don't think they will either.
So I think they will have to cut him outright. And then at that case, which is why it makes sense that the Steelers are at the top, because
then they could go sign
because they sign him, and it's only going to cost him like a 1.7, because he can play for the veteran minimum.
Yeah.
And then the Broncos just have to pick up the rest of the tab, right? So you have a Steelers team that has already declared that we want a quarterback and we want a competition. You can sign Russell Wilson for pennies, and then if it doesn't work out, no harm, no foul, he costs like $1.75 million. You know, it's like you can just go back to Mason Rudolph again or something, you know, if that were to be the case. So I understand why they are where they are and why some of these other teams are short. Like, again,
I think
Raiders are short, the Falcons are short, because, again, if they can't make a move to get up to get with some of the, you know, either Fields, or if they, you know, have aspirations on trying to trade up to get one of the top three picks, whatever it might be, then there is that fail safe of like, okay, after Russell Wilson gets cut, we can go sign him for, again, I think it's $1.75 million or something like that.
I think the Steelers, and we're going to get to one more guy too here in a sec, Kirk Cousins, but the Steelers make more sense to me for Russell Wilson than Fields. Just for, are the Steelers for sure? Everything you just walked through, I think, gives them the option of bringing in Russell Wilson and then still keeping Kenny Pickett around, right? And seeing if there's something still there, who knows, you know, you could figure that out through next season. I mean, I don't really know that you know for sure what you're getting with Russell Wilson, so I don't think it would be a bad idea to have both those guys on the roster, you know, and Mason Rudolph too, I guess, going forward and see what you get. I think that makes more sense than what you're going to have to trade pretty aggressively to go get a Justin Fields. Like, are the Steelers willing to do that when this option's out there? I don't know. I see it making more sense for a team like the Falcons to be ultra aggressive to go get a Justin Fields, and this being a better fallback kind of spot for a guy like Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and if you're the Steelers, right, you're probably looking at the roster you have currently constructed and thinking, you know, we could probably win now if the right quarterback situation came into play. Now, do they think that as Russell Wilson? There were flashes of him playing well over the course of the season. There were also flashes of him looking like complete garbage. Yeah. Was that a product of the situation? We know Sean Payton obviously doesn't want him there, want him there to begin with. So, like, who knows? Maybe this was just a bad fit in a bad situation for Russell Wilson.
And partially because of that, I would be willing to roll the dice again on Russell Wilson. Like, my mind still hasn't been able to comprehend what I've seen out of him the past two years there in Tampa.
And so, it's like you said, like, you probably look at that roster if you're the Steelers and go, if we have competent quarterback play, you know, we've got Deontay Johnson, we got Pickens, like, we've got guys. It's not like he's throwing to nobodies. We've got a pretty decent defense. Like, we could probably win if we had competent quarterback play.
Yeah.
So I think that they make a lot of sense, and I understand why they're where they're at. Kirk Cousins, where will he take his next step? Vikings minus 200. Look, it makes the most sense.
Is that not a bet?
I mean,
Gil and I talked about this quickly last week. We really think he's going anywhere else?
He has pretty much openly said he would like to be back and all of that. And, like, the other problem is any of these other teams that would want to bring him in would have to understand that you're probably not getting him for a full season.
Yep.
You know, that's the other thing about this is that you're, like, probably getting him for, I don't know, 13 games, for you know, 12, 13, 14 games, something like that. And so I think it's Vikings. I think it's the only thing would be, is someone honestly going to come in and just back up the Brinks truck for Kirk Cousins because they look at it as a situation where they're in a win now, and if they don't win now, then the window is gone. Like, the window's completely gone. And so, is there any team on this list as we look at Vikings, Falcons, Patriots, Raiders, Titans, Commanders, Broncos, Steelers, and Bucks? I don't think there's any of those teams that fit that, right? I mean, who thinks they can win immediately with Kirk Cousins?
Man, yeah, I think this is a bet. I'm gonna see if Caesars has this up and down. I might be betting this.
A little on the break bet.
It might be.
Not a right on the to-do list bet.
I still haven't gotten an FAU one from yesterday.
See, so there we go. A little NBA talk when we come back here on a numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you are not already a Visa Pro subscriber, one, what you've been doing? But guess what? We're going to make it easy on you. It's just going to cost you $9.99 for the first month. Go in, VSiN.com/subscribe. That gets you everything we do. Absolutely everything we do for just $9.99. And included in that, if you go ahead and you do the math, a month from now, yes, March Madness, you're going to get the March Madness betting guide as part of your little introductory offer there. It's going to cost you just $9.99, AmericanVSiN.com/subscribe. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly on the desk with me here. A couple of great spots with Will Hill, Mike Pritchard a little bit earlier in the show, talking about some of these different, the way that we may or may not think that these teams are going to go about stuff in the offseason and where these players may or may not end up, and just put a bow on the Kirk Cousins thing here, Kelly. I mean, you know, look, the other thing that we didn't mention that's tied to this as well is Justin Jefferson has come out and said he doesn't want to sign an extension with the Vikings until he knows what the quarterback plan is. And he would like to know who is going to be throwing him the ball, because if a guy can't put it in your vicinita, then it's very hard for you to get stats, and it's very hard for you then to get that next monster deal whenever everything rolls around. And so that also is tied to all of this, where it's like, hey, they're going to need to let him know sooner rather than later that our plan is Kirk Cousins. Let's go out and get this done, because we need to get this guy locked up for a while. You just can't let Jefferson go.
Yeah, I think it's another reason where I just think this all makes too much sense. It's just like you're going to be able to get Kirk Cousins back, who, you know, no matter how you feel about him out there, he's an above average level quarterback.
He was, but when he went down, Kelly, he was a he by every metric available out there, he was a top six quarterback in the NFL when he went down. Now, again, could that have worn down over the course of the season? Whatever, ifs and buts and whatever.
Right,
but still, like he was a top six quarterback when he went down.
Who Justin Jefferson has had massive seasons with already. So you put that all in there, and you're talking about, and then we were talking about a little bit on the break. You're talking about a guy who's, you know. The Vikings, yes, are going to be thinking about Justin Jefferson, but then you're going to be thinking about bringing back Kirk Cousins, who just, he doesn't have much leverage in negotiations. Like, you're getting older. You're coming off of an injury. Like, you've stated publicly how you want to be in Minnesota. Like, there is, it seems very, that this should be pretty simple for the team, like you said, for the team to figure this out with Cousins. And then you can go to Justin Jefferson and say, hey, let's have some big flipping money talks, right, that you've been talking about.
We've locked him in for 3 years.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's going to be here for three more years, so you know. And you should be good with that.
You should be good with it. Yeah. And we're willing to open up the bank now to keep the best wide receiver in the NFL, or one of them, right here in Minnesota.
Yeah, it's to me, it would be shocking to me if it was anyone other than Minnesota. But again, is there a world that exists that one of these teams just, what if the Raiders have such an overinflated view of where they're at right now?
They might.
You know?
So that was the one thing.
They think they could actually win.
I'm so glad you brought them up, because on all three quarterbacks we just ran through, like, the Raiders, I would assume, are going to be aggressive trying to go after a quarterback this offseason, and likely one of these guys that we're talking about in almost every single one of these graphics that we ran through. The Raiders are hanging around like 6-1, 8-1, 7-1. Like, it's, you're like almost on that point of like, should I just bet the Raiders in all of these? Like, is one of these guys going to end up here?
It's one of those deals too, where I mentioned that list of free agent quarterbacks that are going to be out there. And it almost feels as if the Raiders are going to end up with Brissett or Flacco or Dobbs or Tannehill or Minshew or something like that, which all are probably upgrades to what they had this past season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is that. What would you go get season tickets if the Raiders signed Jameis Winston? would you go get season tickets?
No, I would not get season tickets.
So that you could be over there? You'd make at least a couple games.
Oh, though. I would. Yeah. I have been to one whole Raiders game so far. I would make it to at least two next year. Yes.
You're gonna be like, listen, I go see him spin it a couple times.
Especially if we're talking of Devontae still there. Jameis to Devontae deep down the field every other play. Let's go.
I got to see him spin it at least a couple different times. I'd absolutely love that. But you know, one of these quarterback needy teams is going to get left out, and they are going to end up with this kind of pile of guys that are off to the side here. And it's, you know, so we will be looking at a team that is quarterbacked by one of those guys, be it Dobbs or Flacco or Brissett or Minshew or Jameis or Tannehill or whoever, you know, like one of the teams is going to be left with those guys.
There's so many gross names in there. Like, I cannot imagine being the team and trying to sell a fan base on like, hey, we're bringing Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. You got left.
Get excited.
You got, it's like, you know,
buy tickets now.
We lost out on all the big names. So here we go. You know, let me introduce your new starter, Gardner Minshew. You know, it's right. Cool, I guess. You know, but these are all bettable markets. So head on over to DraftKings if you do want to take a look at all of those. Kelly, can't let you get out of here without talking a little NBA this day. We're sitting here, Rockets and the Grizzlies. As I go down, that is sitting 2.5 right now in favor of the Rockets on the road. 218.5 is the total.
Yeah, really interesting here. This is one I do have a bet in on already. I bet this happened to me a few times, or multiple times this season, Matt, where numbers gone the other way on me. You know, still ended up, had some winners during a lot of those, actually. But I'm surprised this total opened up about 217 yesterday. I bet the under immediately. Got steamed up to about 220.5 I saw this morning, and then under money brought it back down. So a lot of movement on this total, but we've talked about this Grizzlies team a lot recently, and what they're throwing out there on the court being very comparable to a G League team, pretty much, outside of Jaren Jackson Jr. basically being on the court. The one thing that they have done pretty well, though, over the past couple weeks is they've quietly played some pretty good defense. You know, talking 13th in defensive rating over that time, over their past 11 games, and last in the NBA in scoring. Meanwhile, Houston dealing with a couple injuries, Fred VanVleet out of the lineup, so some of their reliable scoring out of that lineup right now. 19th in the NBA offensive rating over the past 11 games for them. Still playing great defense, though, on the Houston side of this. Pretty easy look to the under for me. This is, I know when we're talking about the NBA and totals right now, this is a low total for what you're seeing in 2024. But there are still some of these teams out there that are just, they're only overlooks or only underlooks. And you're looking at two teams right now that both of them I could only consider underplays on. So I did play under 217 last night on the opener. I think 218.5, more than fair to go under on this one.
Kings and the Nuggets. That is sitting 5 in favor of the Nuggets as we sit right now with a total in about the 229.5 range as we take a look. And Kelly, just a absolute monster of a night last night for Domantas Sabonis. I mean, just absolutely crazy game. And it seemed like there was no stopping him at all. That's the wild. Whole game. It ends up 35, 18, and 12. Oh, throw in a steal and 3 blocks in there as well. Only 1 turnover. But it wasn't good enough. Suns get it done, 130 to 125. If you were watching the end of that game, the dreaded foul with the ball still on the sideline. Mm-hmm. And so it was the, you know, shot, and then they get the ball back. And so the Kings were never able to get back in it after that.
Someone
so,
who was laying 4, I was happy to see all that play out there.
Yeah, there you go.
Sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't.
So what do we think here, Kings and Nuggets?
Yeah, this was one I've had circled. I've had circled for a few days now, this Denver side. Now, unfortunately, what we've had develop the past few days, it does look like Jamal Murray's going to miss this game, as well as KCP, most likely, for Denver. We talked about it a bit yesterday with that Sacramento-Phoenix game, but how big of a game that was last night. Now having to go to altitude and play Denver tonight, this being a really tough ask. And when you're talking about the final game before going on into the All-Star break for Sacramento. So Denver side, I had circled. I think with Murray and KCP likely missing this game, I'm probably going to end up staying away. But it would absolutely be Nuggets or nothing for me in this game tonight.
Clippers and Lakers in the let's go to Lakers and the Jazz actually. Yeah. Lakers and the Jazz. This is 5.5 in favor of the Jazz at home. 240.5 is the total here.
Yeah, if people haven't been paying attention to this Jazz team, they really have past couple months. Recently, maybe not quite as good as what we've seen, but past couple months really turned this into a decent team that they're that they've got in Utah right now. And LeBron out tonight. That was announced.
Yeah, back end of a back-to-back.
Yeah, back end of a back-to-back. They did announce that basically immediately last night that LeBron would be missing this game tonight. Unfortunately, I didn't bet it last night. That got announced while I was heading to sleep, I think. And woke up, saw this at 5.5 today. Haven't bet it yet, Matt, but really interested in this Jazz side tonight. Again, I think it's kind of the Lakers a little bit tipping their hand. All right, we're ready for the All-Star break. 5.5. Look, we rarely talk key numbers in the NBA. 5, though, is one you always want to try to maneuver around if you can. Not worth buying half points at all. Buying points, never doing that. But I'm going to wait to see where the market moves here, because I think my first thought would be there's going to be Lakers money regardless that shows in the market at some point. If you can get this down to 5, it's a bet on the Jazz for me. So I'm just waiting right now on that one.
Talk a little Clippers and Warriors on the other side here. And, look, it's Valentine's Day.
Show a little love.
Let's go ahead and get a little weird when we come back. We'll review our golf bets as well. The final segment of A Numbers Game here on Wednesday.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Head to your favorite app store and download the DraftKings Sportsbook. And when you do, man, we got a great offer for you. You are going to get up to $1,000 in a no-sweat bet when you use the promo code VSiN. So deposit, make that first bet of yours. If it doesn't hit, which you probably will because you'll be following everything that we're talking about, so you're going to win anyway. But if for whatever reason, Kelly, doesn't hit.
Yeah, obviously. Like if you laid a goal and a half with Man City yesterday and it got there at extra time. Boom. Stoppage time.
There it is. See, you wouldn't have had to worry about the no sweat bet. But the thing is it would have been there for you if you needed it, up to $1,000 if that first bet of yours does not hit, and it'll be back into your account in bonus bets. Be sure and use that promo code VSIN, VSIN, to take advantage of this great offer at DraftKings Sportsbook. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, I'm in for Gil here for another couple of days. And Kelly, it is a it's a special day for some out there, but let's I do want to talk one more NBA game before we get going here. And the Clippers and the Warriors going at it tonight. The Warriors, 3-point favorites at home. 233.5 is your total. Warriors on the front end of a back-to-back. They are on the road at Utah tomorrow.
Yeah, and you have, so this is another game that we got early injury info on. Kawhi Leonard will be out tonight for the Clippers. So we got that early injury info. That one I was actually able to get in front of, Matt. So I did it. Was able to grab the Warriors at a plus price. I now that Kawhi is out, this game I don't have as much here. It would be a lean to the Warriors still, who are playing better basketball here recently. But everything we talked about that first segment, I think would keep me away from, like, there's already enough mind games that you're trying to figure out with some of these teams as you head into an all-star break, and where's everybody's mindset at and everything right now. How focused they really on this basketball game. Then we get a report like this today with LeBron and the Warriors and everything, and some of the, I think, key role players that probably would have been dealt. Like, this is going to be a big topic amongst this Warriors team today. I don't really want to play mind games with this game tonight. So I overall would end up being a pass. I bet Warriors plus 2.5 before the Kawhi news came down yesterday. I think I'm going to buy off and just hope, yeah, I get lucky somehow and land in the little middle range. But I think if you're fresh eyes approaching this today,
yeah,
I would just wipe this one away. Not even consider it.
Yeah. Just watch it, whatever.
Exactly.
Tune in.
Should be a good game, yeah, still, yeah, to watch.
Just, yep, tune in, watch it, take advantage of it. We don't have to bet everything on the board, right? That's one of the advantages that we do have out here.
Gil says it all the time, biggest advantage we have, right? They got to post every single game here. You don't got to bet everything.
We are looking, also, I noticed that it was on some of the TVs around here, so I went to the old four-letter sports leader, took a look, and Field Yates put out his version one mock draft. They have transitioned him more into kind of like the scouting prospect draft type stuff. You know, he was just a fantasy guy for him for the longest time and all that. And so he's kind of moved over into that role. He put out his.
I'm kind of glad you brought that up. Yeah. Because I've been noticing, I feel like, yeah, him doing more and different things. Mm. An extremely talented guy, yeah, in my opinion.
Too. Last 2 years, he's really kind of leaned into the prospect grading stuff and the draft type stuff or whatever. So his version one, Caleb Williams one. That's whatever. Anyone that puts out a mock draft that does not have Caleb Williams going number one needs then just throw the mock draft, mm-hmm, out. Unless they, I mean, it's, you're just trying to get, you're trying to be cute if you don't have Caleb Williams go number one. Like, it is known Caleb Williams is going to go number one. So it's just don't do it. But number two, Jaden Daniels, as opposed to Drake May, Jaden Daniels to the Commanders.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about this tomorrow, but I sure think that. I think that's a thing.
Yeah, so Drake May then to the Patriots at 3. And the bet of all bets that I'm going to make as soon as this market opens, exact team to draft Marvin Harrison Jr., Marvin Harrison Jr. over-unders, all the Marvin Harrison Jr. is going number 4. It is over. Game over. He is going number 4. End of story.
Oh, yeah.
He is going to the Cardinals. They played themselves out of the quarterback scenario, right, so they, right, are now married to Kyler Murray. So if you are married to Kyler Murray, you have to get him a playmaker. You have to get him a weapon, which they have none of. So it is a lock that this dude is going to the Arizona Cardinals. Hollywood Brown, by the way, is a free agent. Just to let you know. Right, so they literally have nobody.
I mean, they have nobody. They have, yes, nobody there. I mean, you could make the argument the offensive line's not that great either, right? But there's just the prospect that is Marvin Harrison Jr. too good to pass up on, right?
Yes. I mean, we're talking in any other year where there weren't three blue chip quarterback prospects, like, there would actually be real talk about him going number one overall. Like, that's, yeah, how good. I mean, we're talking 6'4", 205. Unbelievable route runner, unbelievable hands, like the whole nine yards. And so
this wide receiver class is sick. Yes. Like, it's sick. I mean, he is number one, but there are about 5-6 guys below him that are really, really good players.
When it comes out, if they put the over-under on Harrison at 3.5, you just lay the over until your hands break. If they put the over-under on Harrison at 4.5, you just break your fingers betting the under. it will be the bet worth laying juice on. It will be all of that. They have no choice. They have no choice.
There's no chance that Drake May falls out of the top three. Is there?
No. Okay. Because if one of the three teams got crazy and thought they didn't want a quarterback, they would make it known to everyone else, we're not going to take a quarterback. Whoever wants this pick can have it. And then it'll be a free-for-all as to whoever. It would likely be the Patriots because they're weird. There's all that.
I believe without a doubt Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels go in those top three somewhere. Yeah. I just don't know about.
So let's get weird here on the show. It is Valentine's Day, and happy Valentine's Day to all of you who celebrate out there for all of this. And we thought we'd talk about some stuff that we love. Of course, Kelly Bidlin, great friend of mine. I love Kelly Bidlin's my second love. Yeah, another man. But let's talk about this is a betting show. So let's talk about some of the bets that we love, some futures bets that you can put in your account because we love them so incredibly much. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to head to the Major League Baseball futures markets, and I'm going to put in a couple of MVP bets. And the thing is, I understand that he's your favorite, but you're still getting over 5-1 on Ronald Acuna, who is one of the most ridiculous talents you are ever going to see. And by the way, it's the last time you're going to be able to bet him and maybe win a bet on him. Because remember, Shohei Ohtani plays in the NL now, but he's not going to pitch this year. So we get 1 year.
There you go.
We get 1 year to go after the MVP, in which it's not just going to become the Shohei Ohtani Award as we move forward with all of this. And so Ronald Acuna played 159 games last year. He hit .337. He had 41 homers, 106 RBI. He scored 149 runs and stole 73 bases to go along with an 11.4% strikeout rate. It was, I don't know why we didn't talk more about this season being one of the most ridiculous things we've ever seen. Oh, it's because Shohei Ohtani exists. That's why. But it is ridiculous what Ronald Acuna did last year. And so, yeah, we're going to go back to the well. The only guy that I could think that might could come in as a longer shot and compete with some sort of stat line relatively close to this. Corbin Carroll, as a rookie last year, played in 155 games. He hit .285. He hit 25 bombs, scored 76 RBI, scored 116 runs, and he stole 54 bases as well. If we get Ronald Acuna to maybe come back down to earth a tad and Corbin Carroll to take a step forward, one of the most highly recruited guys there is on the face of the planet, highly touted guys, I should say, in Corbin Carroll. Maybe that's out there, but he's way out there at like 18, 19, 20-1. That's just more of a fun ticket to have in your account. But Ronald Acuna, I'm just in love with that one. Kelly, what you in love with, buddy?
I like it. I like that you just powered through the music, too. I don't know if this is a good music choice or
it's good.
But
it's good stuff. Yeah, I like it.
Got to look for copyright free, that's for sure. Yeah. So what I'm loving today, especially since the odds have gotten a little longer in certain places too, that's going to be SGA MVP. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, Matt. I think that there is, I know we got Tim Bontemps-Strapel. Reminder though, the past 2 years, this version of the Strapel, the guy who was in second actually ended up winning the award.
Oh, boy.
Shea was in second. I'm not saying that's definitely going to happen. But at these odds, I think you're talking about very, very comparable cases for both Nikola Jokic and Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Is it likely going to be decided where these teams finish in the West? Yes, I think that's going to be a huge part. I think there are some things that are going against Jokic. I think we saw it a bit last year, too, Matt, where is there a rush to put him in the company of guys that have won three MVP awards? We saw some hesitancy, I think, to that last year. Do we see it again this year? Or just straight up voter fatigue, if you want to go that angle. Do we see that again? Meanwhile, SGA is leading a group of nobodies in Oklahoma City who are in contention for the number one seed in the Western Conference. Well, what he's doing is absolutely incredible. He's got top EPM numbers. He's got top estimated wins numbers. Yes, I ran out of time. I forgot how much time we had left. But I love a bet on Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
It was passionate. It was love. We love. We'll talk NBA with JBT tomorrow. Joe Sheehan on Major League Baseball. We'll also talk about those number 2 and number 3 picks in the NFL draft. It's a numbers game. Stick around for best bets.